much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, who wants to hear one of the most highly classified, I'm talking top secret radio transmissions ever recorded?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
There's so much out there that's bad for women.
So much bad for women.
But then someone comes along who's brave, who's not a size zero, but is still okay with being seen, and that is so empowering.
Because then you're like, at least I'm not as fat as her.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on, Ed. There's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
His sperm is amazing.
All they could say is, hey, you took a nap, and that was bad. Ed.
I didn't mean to offend anyone by taking that nap.
Michael Jordan took naps. Abraham Lincoln took naps.
It's true.
And I'm in trouble for napping.
And now,
spaceships, aliens, it's all there.
Our feature presentation.
It's all there.
It is all there. And Abraham Lincoln did take naps.
And Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And that chick.
And Corinne.
Oh.
And his sperm was amazing.
Right, that too.
Apparently.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 9th of February.
What's up, you guys? How's that fog treating you?
Dude, so dense.
What's our policy on fog? I know our policy on rain is, you know, you're endangered the longer you're out on the road, the worse it is for everyone. So just go as fast as you can. Same with fog?
I think so. I think
just drive as fast as you can to get out of it.
I don't remember. I think it's really speed.
Yeah.
Because
you have a lot of cars out there that somebody could run into, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the fewer cars on the road, the better.
Now, maybe that is right.
Yeah, I think it might be. So, I mean, how dense is it?
I'll check my notes.
It's really foggy.
Is it beer mug dance? Is it that dance?
In places,
not,
yes.
Not bad.
Wow.
No, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, there's places where you can see maybe a quarter of a mile, maybe.
That's not even fog,
that's
you're lucky.
That's not fog.
Oh, that's fog.
Not fog.
No, there were times there was nothing, like 5 feet in front of my car I couldn't see.
Yeah, that's
right?
Fog.
Yeah. Wow. All right, take it easy,
Where'd you drive from?
My
Unfoggy
house?
Town? Is that a thing? Unfoggy?
Sure.
Okay.
No. Unfoggy town. That's where I live.
That's where I has always lived. Everyone knows that.
Who wouldn't want to live in Unfoggy town?
All right.
Best place. Best
be
neighbors.
Be careful or drive faster, whatever you're supposed to do. I don't know.
I think be careful. I think.
All right. Hey, porta potties, right?
Right.
I've often wondered if that seems like it would be a really good business to get into. But I bet a lot of people would be discouraged to get into that business because, you know, poop. But, I mean, it really is a business that's never going to – there's no recession in the porta-potty business. When you need a porta-potty, you need a porta-potty, right?
Right.
Sure.
Where are we going with this?
Well, there's a guy who runs a porta-potty business. It's in the news here in a second. But I was just thinking about it when I saw that. It made me think there was a guy who used to have a porta-potty business. And I don't know. They have a lot of different names, a lot of different companies, who used to be up in the Santa Clarita Valley. And his business was – his name was Andy Gump. And
Andy
that's
Gump,
what,
yeah.
That's what his porta-potties
were
called. Andy Gumps.
Sure.
And I thought if you did have a porta-potty business – would you give it your name so that forever you would be – people would meet you, your name is Andy Gump, and now they're associating with the porta potty. Is that – or would you just look at that as, hey, I'm a businessman. It's a point of pride. I've got a reputation, and it's a good one. And would you want to be the porta potty guy?
I mean, it's his brand, and he probably made gazillions of dollars. So
right, but couldn't he have made those gazillions of dollars without putting his name
on
the porta potty,
like,
incorporated or something?
I'm Andy Gump from Porta Potty. That's a lot of words when you introduce yourself.
Just he's just saving time.
Saving time.
You have to tell everybody what you do when you introduce yourself?
I do.
Okay.
It's just a surprise to me that he put his name on it. You know what I mean? That he was Andy Gump.
Sure.
And then the other night I told you guys, and believe me, I am getting to a story here. There is a point to all this.
Wow.
The other night, remember I told you guys that I went for the first time in almost six months now, I went to dinner in the French Quarter.
Right.
Yes.
And there was a porta potty off of one of the streets there, and the name of the company was Poudette.
I mean, come on.
Amazing.
That's pretty fantastic.
And I thought that was pretty strong as well.
Now that's even better.
All right, so here's the guy who
I want to go just to poo in it.
John Mullen is his name, and he and his son run a portable toilet business in Britain. He's from Manchester, and he's working. This story started back in April of 2012. It just resolved this week, though. April of 2012, he is working a gig at the Lobster Festival happening in Hardwick Hall, Sedgefield, County Durham. Don't know anything about that? Sounds fancy. All right, so he's there at a lobster festival. And somehow, and you know how lobster festivals can get out of hand, right?
Oh, right. Sure.
Somehow, a fight breaks out in the lobby, and a guy gets headbutted, and 20 people become involved in the scuffle. In fact, the fighting becomes so out of control that the hotel staff is terrified and they lock themselves in the office for safety. They're not even trying to break it up anymore. They're just like, we can't. We don't have anything. We can't do anything here. So a brawl is happening. And this guy, John Mullen, the Poudette guy, or whatever his company's called, he, for some reason, attacks somebody with a champagne flute.
Okay.
And slices him in the neck, puts a 2-inch laceration in his neck. Four pieces of glass from the champagne flute lodge into this guy's neck.
All right, so far, so good.
I mean, this is a bad lobster festival.
Bad. Yeah. That's what I meant. So bad. Yes. This is bad.
He missed the victim whose name was Neil Parsons, carotid artery? Is that what it's called?
Carotid
artery. By just millimeters. Very close to killing this man. So he stabs the guy with a champagne flute. Like, it's not crazy enough. You can't believe this didn't happen in Florida. The man loses 6 pints of blood. Somebody does call emergency 999, and he is treated, and he did survive.
Wow.
However, our man, John Mullen, he escapes from Manchester, somehow manages to flee the country on a false passport. Now, who's running a porta-potty business that also has a false passport?
Wow. Everything is shady.
What's this guy into?
This poo guy, yeah.
Right?
He flies to
poo
Abu Dhabi.
Shaky.
He flies to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Then he flies on to Bangkok, and he's an international fugitive on the run for 4 years.
Wow.
He finally got arrested last February when he arrived in Sofia, Bulgaria. That's when he was nabbed. That's when they said, "You're the guy who stabbed the dude in the neck with the champagne flute."
Wow.
So he gets extradited back to Britain, and he's in jail, and he finally got his verdict this week of 7.5 years in prison for stabbing the guy in the neck during the fight at the Lobster Festival. So 4 years on the run, and then somehow he just checked into the wrong country. They got him in Bulgaria, and now he's in jail for 7.5 years.
Wouldn't you think Bulgaria would – you'd be pretty safe there?
Yeah, because didn't they give that cat titanium legs? And right. That cat loved it. I remember cat, that.
Oh, my God. That cat's name, you guys.
Was Pooh.
Oh.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It all comes together.
Cat's name was Pooh.
That's remarkable. So there you go. There's the story that just fascinates me, and I hope to God somebody makes a TV movie out of this.
Right?
I have so many questions about a guy running a porta potty business with a fake passport, stabbing a dude, and then going in and having a cat with titanium legs.
I don't think you have the cat. You're getting those two stories mixed together,
really?
I think. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So tell me what you think you're doing that contributes to this chaos and this problem.
All right. We're going to talk about stupid things you bought on eBay.
Ooh.
On today's
By the way, let's check the tape. Jimmy Kimmel apparently had on the guy who bought the Cheeto in the shape of Harambe last night.
All right.
What a get.
I want to find out what his deep motivation was. Is he planning to tour it? Is he just going to hide it for the rest of us?
I'm sure he'll tour it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I want to find out.
Come on now. Yeah. Mall tour. Dr. Drew's going to be on the show today. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. We have your tickets for the Lumineers Grammy party.
Nice.
And funeral selfies. Did you know that was a thing? Funeral selfies. Why are the people applauding?
Yeah.
You walk into a funeral and you take a selfie with yourself and dead guy.
Yeah.
And that is a thing. Mm-hmm. And that seems bad. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Poudette, right?
Right.
Right.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on with you, man?
Things are going on. It should be talked about in the Showbiz Beat.
Did you hear the fog was so thick that Kevin could only see a quarter of a mile on his way in this morning?
No, it's crazy.
I mean, seriously, that's like driving blind.
No.
Look, you asked me how thick I thought it was. That's what it was for me.
A quarter of a mile.
Yeah, what do you want me to say? That's about what it was.
That's...
pretty much visibility on any day.
Really is. Okay.
Unless you're Superman. What do you have, telescopic vision? What do you usually see, miles ahead of yourself?
It's just it's
how good can you see?
It's a shocking amount of distance on a really foggy day.
But it wasn't that foggy where I was. What do you want me to do?
Unfoggy town.
You're unfoggy town. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want from me.
You brought to life, man. I felt the fog as you talked
about
that.
Should have said 5 feet
that
then.
That quarter mile of a distance that you could see into it.
Some places.
Your vision got clearer with
some
the fog
somehow.
Some places
were as short as a quarter mile.
You and Allie both drove to the same location, though, right?
Right.
But I can see through fog with my X-ray vision.
Thank you, Ralph.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
You're a miracle. Hey, you know how Bean wants every child to be in show business?
Yes.
You know, he thinks every kid should somehow be in show business because it's the best thing for a child?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I said that.
That's what you said. You said every kid should be either in movies or television or as a recording artist because all children should be in show business.
They're all success stories.
That's right. Everyone who gets into it is a success.
Yeah.
And it's the best kind of childhood, and it leaves you with no emotional scars whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one gentleman would beg to differ. Let me see. What's his name again? Oh, Justin Timberlake.
Oh, very dramatic.
Wow.
Says in an interview that raising his own son, Silas, has now taught him just how messed up his childhood was.
Oh, no.
Hmm. And he's a success story.
That's my point. If Justin Timberlake, who is the biggest probably success story in the history of child stars, if his childhood was messed up because of it, what happens to the losers?
There are none, Ralph. You should know that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
What is
every
he,
child
they
should
all
be,
succeed.
Every child should be in show business because it's
what
a
is
good
he
life
saying
for kids.
About why his childhood was messed up. What was wrong with it?
He said being a child star in the Mickey Mouse Club and then as a member of the boy band NSYNC, his childhood, in his words, were crazy, traumatic. You go through your life with your own traumas, big and small, and you think, it's not that bad. I have a lot to be thankful for. My parents did the best they could. But then you have a child of your own, and suddenly it opens up all the floodgates. You're like, no, 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 no. That childhood trauma really did F me up.
Hmm. It's weird that he's lying about this.
He's not lying!
Why, what he's trying to cover up is just
saying,
weird.
No, no, no. I'm saying carrot juice? He's saying, no, 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 no.
Just some sort of plea for sympathy because he had it too easy? Is that what's happening here?
Justin, it says here in the article, is keen to keep his own son far away from show business.
Bye, bye, bye.
Start a new file.
Yep.
I guess because it's too wonderful. That's why he wants to keep his kid away
maybe
from
that's
show
it.
Business.
It's too good.
It's just too good.
Yeah.
He doesn't want him to have all the goodness.
So my point has been proven once again.
That isn't good for you.
This was a success.
It was not a success, is what I'm saying. While we're continuing our story of celebrities and children, Max Greenfield, you know, we all love him from New Girl.
Sure.
He was on The Talk this week, and he revealed to Sharon Osbourne, one of the hosts of that show, that he has a very specific connection with her. He named his youngest child, Ozzy, after her husband.
Wow.
Is Ozzy Osbourne somebody you want your kid to emulate? Is that a namesake you want to stick a kid with?
That's a good question.
He said that he and his wife, Tess, knew they were going to have a boy, and they wanted him to have an appropriate name if he's going to be a maniac. Well, that hope springs eternal, I guess.
Too many babies. Too many people having babies, and the Earth is getting really crowded.
Right?
That's true,
so
right?
You better hurry up and get up in space if we want to have more babies.
What?
You
better hurry up and
get on Mars
in space.
Or
on Mars.
Okay. Maybe we could all move to the moon or something. Okay. I don't know. We're really getting crowded.
Yeah. If the Earth is crowded, Rodney, how do you think it'll be if we all move to the moon? A considerably smaller location.
He hasn't thought the whole thing out.
You think he wants to live on Mars simply because of the Bowie song "Life on Mars"?
Sure. I really do.
That really has to be the appeal
think
for him.
He has any concept of Mars?
Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Michael B. Jordan, 30 years old today.
Oh, what a career, right?
Yes. Creed, all those championships with the Bulls. This guy's had it all.
different
it's
guy.
Amazing.
He'll always be Friday Night Lights for me.
Tom Hiddleston. Loki.
Loki.
He's 36 years old. ZZ Zhang. He's 38 years old today. Charlie Day of It's Always Sunny and the new film Fist Fight coming your way. 41 years old today. And Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. I love Joe Pesci.
74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm a big fan of the work of the late Dickie Goodman. You may not know the name, but he invented the what they called the break-in record. Starting in 1959, he did a very popular song about flying saucers when that was all the rage in America. And then he went on and had a long career of 20 years or something like that. He did songs about the energy crisis and about Batman and about Christmas and whatever was hot, Star Wars, whatever was hot, he would do a song about it. And I guess, Ralph, would you agree, probably Dickie Goodman's best-known song is Mr. Jaws, right?
It was a phenomenon. It was a top 10 hit, and it wasn't really even a song. It was just a guy talking to music clips.
In what year? What year was this?
1970. Well, what year was Jaws? 74?
74.
Yeah, so that's when it came out, and it was, as Ralph mentioned, a big, big hit. And here's a little bit of what it sounded like. So this is Dickie Goodman, and then he asks a question, then he takes a current hit at the time and edits it in the answer. And it sounds a little cheesy now, but remember, there wasn't like a YouTube and places like that. This was kind of cutting edge at the time. So here's what Mr. Jaws sounded like.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it? And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
So every single answer is a snippet from a top 40 song of the era.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
Local
sheriff.
Okay.
Sheriff Brody,
so
the shark will be back for lunch.
So that's
how dare you interrupt Dickie Goodman? Come on. The shark's going to be back for lunch. We have Ty Bean. Sheriff Brody, how do you feel about that shark?
All right, we'll play a little more if you want it.
Yes. What do you intend to do? Just arriving is oceanographer Matt Hooper.
Oh, good.
Sir, if someone is attacked by a shark, what should they do? We are going aboard the fishing boat of Captain Quint. Captain, will you be able to catch this giant shark?
I will.
Thank you, Captain. Captain, when you catch one of these sharks, what do you feel like?
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
We've just sighted the shark again. He's coming straight for us.
Captain
Quint is shouting something at him.
Get your baby one of these nights.
Hey, Jaws, the captain says he's going to catch you. What do you think of that? Uh-oh, here he comes again.
Uh-oh, here he comes again.
The shark is coming right for us. They've hit him. Mr. Jaws, why doesn't anything seem to hurt you?
Big boy, stand quiet.
He's coming right onto the boat. Mr. Jaws, why are you grabbing my hand?
Wouldn't you give your
No, wait! Mr. Jaws! That's not the way this record is supposed to end! Help! Help!
Right?
Oh.
Nice. Now that I hear it again and hear all the songs, it must have been 75 when that came out. So Dickie Goodman goes on, does a bunch more songs like that, and then tragically commits suicide in 1989. So that's how his story ends. Okay,
nice.
So.
You didn't need that,
thanks, man.
I'm just letting that out.
How about leaving that part out? We're trying to have fun here.
That was Beans.
That was
honestly.
For God's sake.
It really was fun.
Tell us how he did it.
Now, the reason all this is being brought up.
No, we're out of time now. We got to move on.
No, tickets to give away.
No.
Carrot juice.
We don't get off till 10. We have a long time. So Bean was leaving a radio station, WOHN, and Bean made his own version of this song.
No.
Yes, he did.
No.
He made a Dickie Goodman-esque tribute song to himself.
No.
Yes.
And the fact that he was leaving the radio station.
And about himself.
Right.
Uh-huh.
As someone else.
Bean, when was this?
This was 1980.
Once again, on the cutting edge of pop culture, decided to go after Dickie Goodman and do a parody of a parody.
I was leaving WHN, which it was in Herndon, Virginia. It was a 1,000-watt AM daytime radio station.
And what shift did you work?
I don't remember, to tell you the truth. Some daytime shift. So anyway, so I'm leaving, and I think I was getting a job in Washington, D.C. at the time. So I was leaving the little suburban D.C. station to go up to Washington, D.C. And I don't know why. I have no memory of actually
putting this together. We just happen to still have the tape. And somehow it came up yesterday, and we realized Allie had never heard it, and then we thought it's been a long time since we played it, so maybe some of our other listeners would enjoy it. But I honestly don't remember making it. But I can't say I'm proud of it, what I hear today.
This is Bean, and this is the best thing you'll ever hear.
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station. Excuse me, Mr. Baxter.
Just keep talking, mama. I like it.
Sir, why did you decide to leave WOHN?
I know that it's time for a cool change.
All right, can you stop for 1 second? I will say, if I can compliment myself,
sir,
I was able to capture the dynamic energy of Dickie Goodman with the interview style.
And why are you doing that voice?
Sir, why did you decide to leave the station? He says to himself.
Gene Baxter is leaving the radio station. Tell me, Mr. Baxter, how did he feel when you told him that?
I can't imagine why.
Like doing a cartoon turtle.
Why would I have ever heard that and go, nailed it?
Yes, and then what happened when you said that?
How long have you been working with the radio station?
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean.
I see. Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
I see.
I see. So tell me, when did that happen?
You should have got into acting. You really can emote.
Right?
Anything else?
It's my favorite part.
I'm out of interstitial dialogue.
I have another clip, but I don't have a question.
I don't really quite know how to shoehorn this in here, so I'll just say, anything else?
Anything else?
I guess your leaving was meant to be.
And what did you reply to that?
We're really out of time.
Hey, we got to go.
The magic.
Busy show.
Let it breathe.
Talk over this. Let it work. Let it breathe. Let it do its work, Bean.
Well, Mr. Baxter, do you think this will be a good move for your career? I seem to recall that you worked at the radio station before. Why did you leave then?
I seem to recall that you used to work here before. What happened with that? Why'd you leave? Why'd you come back?
Okay, then why did you come back?
Once and never in
the... Can you give us a hint? It's a very confusing timeline.
Hey, it's a very confusing timeline for the listeners, though.
Hey, bad man, stop talking.
So you used to be here, then you left. Then why did you come back, and then why did you go again?
Can you give us a hint, sir, as to what you'll be doing now?
How about
just what kind of job will you be after?
How about just that?
How about just one more clip
that doesn't really fit in?
Come on.
How about just what kind of job will you be after? Sir, as you left WOHN Friday afternoon, did you have any final words?
Though we're going our separate ways, there can only be brighter days.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
Sir.
Now I think I know why Dickie Goodman committed suicide.
What about K-Rock, just what you're going to say next?
Allie, did you enjoy that, Allie?
I loved it so much.
Anything else?
K-Rock's Wheels Up 2017 destination number 2 is the Lumineers in Cape Town, South Africa. There's your hint. Cape Town, South Africa. We are looking for you. If you're a Lumineers fan, you want to go to the Grammy party tomorrow night. We got your tickets for that, and you're eligible for that grand prize join to go to Africa as well. 1-800-520-1067. You call now. We'll play a game. Give those tickets away next on K-Rock.
Anything else?
This is going to be one of those special once-in-a-lifetime musical opportunities for you tomorrow night to be at the Grammy Museum, which, by the way, is very cool on its own. And you get to see some live music courtesy of K-Rock with the Lumineers performing. They're in town for the Grammys this weekend. And then you're qualified for the grand prize drawing that we're going to do to send you to Cape Town, South Africa to see them again, including round-trip airfare and hotel and spending cash and more. Get the details at krock.com. This game is called Gotta Have Cape.
Because you gotta have cape. You've gotta have cape. Cause you gotta have cape, cape, cape. You've gotta have cape, cape, cape.
All right,
baby. You wanna see the Lumineers? Cause they are music to your ears. Well, I think we can help.
All right, what we're gonna do?
Maybe you can answer a question about a cape. Come on and don't you hesitate. It's up to you. Cause you gotta have cape, cape,
cape.
cape.
Okay.
You've got to have
cape, 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 cape.
All right.
Yeah.
Nailed that.
Somebody is dosing Omar. I don't know what's happening there. All right. Ralph Garman is our host today. What is Gotta Have Cape all about?
Well, you're going to Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we would ask trivia questions about famous pop culture figures who wore capes.
Yay!
I see.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
These are famous people in pop culture, both fictional and real, who wore capes. They famously wore capes.
Okay.
Because they had to have cape.
You've got to have cape.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
All right. So Ralph will ask the question. You give him the answer. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins the Lumineers tickets for tomorrow night. Who's our first contestant, please?
It is Ben in Whittier. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Hey, Ben, here's your question. The original rock star, this guy rocked leather in the 50s and 60s, but graduated to bedazzled jumpsuits and capes in his later, fatter years.
Is it Queen?
No, there's not Queen. No.
All right.
It would be Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley.
Although Queen could have been the original rock star back in the 1950s as well, right?
Sure. Sure.
Wait, was your guess Queen?
Oh, and it was a good try. It was a good effort.
Gave a lot of clues there. Original rock star, 50s, 60s, fatter, later fatter years.
Right.
I don't think, I don't remember Freddie Mercury ever getting fat.
Well, I think it was the opposite.
I think he did have the other problem. Yes. Yeah.
Let's go to Charles and La Crescenta.
Not a good start is what I'm saying.
All right.
But I'm hoping these people got to have cape. That's sure, what I'm hoping.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
Charles, hi.
Good morning.
Charles, here's your question. Bela Lugosi became so well-known for playing this caped character that when he died, he was buried wearing his famous cape in his coffin.
Dracula.
Dracula's correct, sir. Well done.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
All right. Now we're back on the right track.
Yeah,
right.
We are.
Let's go to Ashley in Huntington Beach. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
Here you go, Ashley. In some in some versions of this character's origin, his cape was made from the baby blankets he was wrapped in when his spaceship crashed onto Earth.
Superman.
Superman
is correct.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
Got to have cape.
Nicely done. Let's go to John in Lakewood.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John. In 1984, this flamboyant pianist once came on stage wearing a $300,000 Norwegian blue fox cape with a 16-foot train studded with bands of Austrian rhinestones that weighed 135 pounds.
Elton John?
Oh.
That was a good guess.
That's not
a bad guess.
Yes.
Yeah. But we were looking for Liberace. Liberace was the flamboyant.
Look, that was no Queen, though. That was a good guess.
That was a good guess.
Nice try. Yeah, you got nothing to be ashamed of.
Completely reasonable.
Right. All right. Let's go to Jeff in Garden Grove.
135-pound cape.
That's crazy.
Good morning. Nuts.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
This Sleeping Beauty villain is evil but elegant in her elaborate headdress and cape that animators designed to look like a giant vampire bat.
What's her name? I know her name. Give me, Cruella. No,
If you know her name, I recommend you say it out
loud. I know her name. Okay. I know her name.
Her name would be.
Is it Queen?
And her name is.
No, this isn't.
Let's give it to her.
Let's give it to her.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
Maleficent, yes.
Well done. Nice pull there.
Wow. He worked it. He pushed his brain. He squeezed his brain. He just turned it and pushed it, and then the fact dripped out.
Doesn't work for me.
I
didn't
think he was going to come up with it, did you?
Never worked for me.
No.
Adrian in Santa Ana, hi.
Hey, that's me.
Hey, yes, it is.
It is you.
And here's your question. This bad guy embodied the dark side of the Force while whipping his cape around as he hunted his son, daughter, and their friends.
That's Darth Vader.
It is Darth Vader.
That is.
You've got to have cape,
just,
cape,
joining
cape.
Us, we're trying to send somebody to Cape Town, South Africa to see the Lumineers as the grand prize drawing. So the game is got to have cape. All these figures have capes. Real
they
anime.
Got to have cape.
Got to have cape.
Right.
Sure. Raul in El Monte. Hi.
What's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Raul, here's your question. This classic image of this famous literary detective often shows him in an Inverness cape with a deerstalker hat and a large pipe.
Sherlock Holmes!
Yeah! No one has ever been that excited by Sherlock Holmes ever.
You've got to have cape, cape, cape.
All right.
These people know their capes.
Almost running out of time here. I think we got time for another, though.
You don't want to go out of that guy?
Nope.
All right, Carlos in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good
morning. Hey, Carlos. This Mexican hero wouldn't be the same without his Spanish cape, his sombrero cordobés, mask, and rapier sword to slash his initial with?
Zorro.
Zorro!
Nice. You've got to have
cape, a cape, a cape. These are great contestants. Shall we push our luck for one more, you guys?
Oh, man. You're no. really pushing it, Bean.
Let's push it.
Let's push it.
We don't have another caller.
We don't have another caller that has been screened yet.
Oh, I see. Because yeah. we, I got gotcha.
Right.
All right, so Carlos and Raul and Jeff and Ashley and Charles, great contestants. Thank you for playing Gotta Have Cape. One of you will win tickets to see Lumineers tomorrow night at the Grammy Museum. Anna is eligible for grand prize. Join to go see him again in South Africa. Only Ally McKay knows who that is.
It's Raul.
Raul, congratulations. And thanks for playing the game. Because you gotta have cape, a cape, a cape.
You've gotta have cape, a cape, a cape. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program later on today. We're going to try to get some help from Beer Mug. He sounded like he was really upset about that hair loss thing yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're going to run some of the medical options by the good doctor coming up. Jim Rome talks sports on the program later on as well. But first, Alex Jones, you guys, is back. We haven't heard a lot from him since the election. Don't you feel like as fired up as he was before the election? Don't you feel like he's just not making the news the way he used to?
He's the far right lunatic.
How dare you? Just because he thinks Sandy Hook was a hoax, because he thinks the government is putting chemicals in the water to make people gay to keep the population down, doesn't mean he's far-fetched with his theories. Come on,
I feel like it does.
And 9/11 was an inside job.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Alex Jones. He's Infowars.com, but he is very happy with the new president. And in fact, he made a surprising statement on his Infowars show earlier this week, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
You know, I've admired Ron Paul and known him and a friend, I guess.
I'm not sure why he's rocking the flock of seagulls while he's doing his show, but let's let him continue.
For 20 years, I've been interviewing him, 21 years, maybe friends the last 10. But it's not the same as it is with Trump. Trump is so fire-breathing, so energetic, so cunning, so real. And he's having results so amazing that it just makes me be endeared to Trump. I'm ready to die for Trump. Be endeared to Trump. I'm ready to die for Trump at this point.
And
I'm already ready to die for America. It's the same feeling I have for America because he is America. You're America.
Okay, so he's America. You're America. Mm-hmm.
Why would he have to die for Trump?
I don't think he has to.
Under what circumstances would that happen?
I think what he's saying is he admires him so much. He thinks he's so good for the country. Let's hear some more from Alex. Right.
It's the same way I get endeared to people I know that have fought hard and lost legs or arms for this country and just how hardworking and good they are. Now, compared to the average person who's lazy and doesn't care, I just feel humble to be around those type of people.
What has President Trump done that is the equivalent of fighting for the country and losing an arm or a leg? I'm very confused by this analogy. We asked Dave, hey, get in touch with Infowars.com, see if the great Alex Jones has some time to squeeze us in today. And I believe we have Mr. Jones on the phone right now. Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
What's going on, dude?
And I ran so far away.
Loves that song.
You are really into that song from Flock of Seagulls, aren't you?
America. I can't believe I love America so much. I'm ready to die for the Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, it does sound like you're a big, big fan. Yeah. So what about this? I mean, you were, you know, a staunch supporter of Mr. Trump as he was running for office. Now he's president. It sounds like you're just delighted with everything he's been doing since he was sworn in.
Staunch supporter is just it's not big enough a term to tell you how I feel about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Finally, we have a guy in there who's stopping all the lizard people. He's keeping all the mangoes from being hollowed out and filled with microfilm. And now, finally, we can get somebody in there who's ready to fight for America. And I'm willing to die for Donald Trump. I can't believe how fire-breathing he is.
Are you sure about the lizards and about the mangoes? Those are real things that the administration is doing?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Why do you think – you ever seen anyone eating a mango? No. They hollow them out and they stuff them with microfilm, and that's how the spies get all the information about the warthogs.
I don't think I knew about that.
Oh, yeah. Warthogs are being trained to take over the country because they're small and they dig into burrows, and this way they can find the vaults where all the nuclear waste is kept.
I see. Okay.
Can I source you on any of that?
Of course you can. It's all out there.
Okay.
Real news will cover it. Your fake news won't cover it, however. Okay. So good luck trying to find it. It's like looking for a diamond ring in an albacore tuna.
All right. Okay. So when you say the president is fire breathing, what do you mean by that?
I mean, he breathes fire.
Right.
Literally.
Fire. Literally.
Literally breathes fire. That's right. You just ask him in the White House. He'll go around sometimes and go, just unleash a giant flame, especially when he's talking to a foreign dignitary like that prime minister from Australia. Can't wait to blow them off the map, right?
Okay. Australia is a very, very powerful and staunch and longtime ally of the United States. Why would you be angry with them?
Australia is the world's taint. Let's face it.
What? I don't think that's true.
Right down there at the bottom.
I don't think that's true at all.
Right, but underneath my sack.
Okay. The earth is not a butthole. You know that, right?
Down there underneath my maracas.
Come on, Alex. So, is there any criticism?
I'm going to die for Trump because he knows it. He knows Australia's expendable. And we need to take look, we're running out of land, okay? So it's time to go down there and get rid of some didgeridoos and just start spreading out.
Okay, I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. Have you found have you had any quarrels at all with anything the president has done? Have there been any missteps at all?
Of course not. Everything he's done has been so amazing already, and that's why I'm ready to die for America. I'm ready to lose a limb, just like all those warriors did in all those wars. I'm going to lose a limb in this war for Donald, too, because I'm ready to die for President Trump. He's unbelievable. He's done so many amazing things in such a short period of time that I can't wait.
What would you say is his best accomplishment has been so far in his first 3 weeks in office, Alex?
I think his war on Nordstrom. Finally, someone's taking on the Battle of Nordstrom.
That was a curious choice, wasn't it?
I can't wait to fight in the Battle of Nordstrom. I'll lose a limb in Nordstrom.
Right.
But that's... Stop that damn piano player.
I've been thinking too much.
Still makes me laugh.
Yeah, not good, though. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
What that means is it's time for Ralph Garman and another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to remind folks that this week, Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose is on a Saturday night for a change. No. Every once in a while, we like to do a Saturday show because some people complain they can't get there on a Friday night. It's too long a drive or yada, yada, yada. So if you'd like to come to Babylon on Saturday night, here's your opportunity. You can go to improv.com to get more details and get your tickets. But it's me. It's Kevin Smith. It's live. It's on stage. And we talk about all things nerdy and show busy. And we have a pretty good time. I think you will, too.
Plus, the answer is no.
But they have booze and food there. So that's worth it, right?
Sure. Bartender has a strong pour.
Oh, does he ever. Good. Eddie. My boy Eddie. God bless Eddie. He'll do the damage. Speaking of drunks and damage, how good are Girl Scout cookies? Right?
I don't get the time.
I don't either,
Girl Scout cookies are real good.
Good. They're better than real good. They're awesome.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
So much so that Jerry Swanson of Ardmore, Oklahoma, saw some Girl Scouts selling cookies by the side of the road, and he was so starving for them. He wanted them so badly, and he was so drunk.
Oh, no.
That he went up to the girls and said he didn't have any money, but he would trade his vodka for some of the cookies. He wanted to make a straight-up swap. You know, I miss the days of bartering. He would give them vodka if they would give him cookies.
Wow.
When police arrived, they said that Swanson was so drunk, he didn't even know he did anything wrong by trying to give the girls vodka.
Oh.
And thankfully for all the Girl Scouts and their cookies weren't harmed, so it all ended with an important lesson, I think, for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside some cookies for the vodka.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to make, you know, keep yourself open.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
That was him. He had no idea. By the way, you know, I always said I would never be the father who asked the people at work to
yes, you did.
Sign up the cookie sheet to order mm-hmm. their cookies from me.
Right.
Because I always thought there was an important lesson to be learned in the Girl Scout tradition of having girls having to go out there and practice their communication skills and their salesmanship and actually interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the proud father of a Daisy.
Sure.
Which is the first rung on the ladder of Girl Scouts.
Is that before Brownie?
It is Brownie. It's before Brownie.
Okay.
And it is cookie season.
Uh-huh.
It is cookie time.
Right.
So tomorrow, you're going to get a little visit from a Daisy who's going to come into the studio here.
Oh, okay. So she's going to do it, though.
So bring your cash, is what I'm saying.
Or vodka.
Or vodka. If you want to make a trade.
If you want to make sort of straight-up trades.
Right. So into that trade.
We are open to negotiations.
The only reason he did the story.
We're open to negotiation. I'm just saying. Not everything has to be cash on the barrel head. I'm not an animal. I'm open.
Or whiskey? Which would you prefer?
What have you?
I mean, your daughter. What would she prefer?
What have you?
Okay.
Just saying.
Take me outside. How about that?
Right.
Bottles have to be at least half full. That's all I'm saying.
What do they, forgive me for not knowing this, but do the Daisies, they sell the big Girl Scout cookies, or do they have a different product that they're selling?
What?
Same product?
You think they sell Daisy cookies? We've never heard of them?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know if that was...
They're Girl Scout cookies.
They sell the same cookie. Okay.
I think they have a different cookie for little girls?
I didn't know if they were selling
a little mini cookie?
Different. No, I didn't know they were selling a completely
trail
different
mix,
product.
Like a chickpea or something? They sell chickpeas?
I had no
small
idea.
Small chickpeas?
Open up a blog.
Right? I wasn't thinking
what?
Chickpeas.
Well, what are you thinking?
I don't know.
You think they sell cookies by size? You think like the older girls get giant just pizookies that they have to sell by the side of the
that'd
road?
Be the best.
Ralph, remember when we talked about pizookies? Then they brought them in when we were both off.
I do remember that.
Some BS,
right?
BJs.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
You have your head up your ass.
Yeah, Bean.
Oh, why does your mind go to they have different cookies?
I wasn't necessarily even thinking cookies. I thought it might have been a completely different product that they sell.
What is she
what
selling
product?
Tomorrow,
I
you
don't
think?
Know.
Ralph, what product will she be selling?
How does your weird brain
paper
go
clips? I don't know.
Paper clips. Yeah.
I'm hoping she to get some
down,
paper clips.
She will be down offering up all different colors of paper clips. We've got a variety of choices.
I just think you're terrific.
Holy
this
crap.
Was a success.
It wasn't a success.
You are adorable.
You're a mental.
Why do some people tune out?
Well, that's a good question.
Bean literally has no idea how the world works because he's never out in it.
What do they say?
What do they say?
They sell cotton balls. I think they're small. They can only lift a cotton ball because they're so tiny. Perhaps flavored cotton balls. It's like a snow cone. You pour syrup on it and you suck the cotton balls. That's what I'm guessing. That's just what my instincts are telling me.
Look.
You look, you look. Mental
you
case.
Put your head up your ass.
I'm just as God made me.
What did that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Speaking of, I'm just as God made me, sir. You know what? You know what that's from? A line from what famous film?
I don't know.
Bean?
Spinal Tap.
This is Spinal Tap.
Ah.
And that movie is in the news because Harry Shearer, who, of course, legendarily played bassist Derek Smalls in the classic film, has filed a lawsuit against the folks who own the rights to that film. And he's included his fellow cast members, Christopher Guest and Michael McKean, saying that with all the millions the movie, soundtrack, cable airings, merchandise, and other revenue streams have earned over the years, that these guys haven't been paid what they're contractually owed. The movie only cost $2.25 million to make. And since then, it has earned, as you can imagine, millions and millions of dollars.
And they haven't been paid?
And they haven't been compensated appropriately, according to this lawsuit. So the lawsuit is asking for $400 million in damages.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's for 11. $11 million in damages. This one goes to 11, this lawsuit. This lawsuit goes to 11. Goes all the... why don't you just sue for $10 million and make 10 the most? This lawsuit goes to 11. Love that film. Give it to them. Whatever it takes. Just make them happy. Because that movie's awesome. Right?
Agreed.
I should be a judge.
You should.
I should just be...
Like the movie.
I like the movie, so I rule in favor. So-called judge. Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Pesci.
Funny how, Henry? How am I funny to you, Henry?
74 years old today. Charlie Day is 41. Zizi Zhang, 38 years old today. Tom Hiddleston celebrates his 36th birthday. And Michael B. Jordan is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I don't know what this is about, but you got my attention because you told me the Vol's funeral, so I am all in.
Bean loves death.
I do love funerals.
Which is odd to all of us. And he loves funerals. And most of us despise and can't stand. And just, it's the worst thing in the world to go to a funeral.
Yeah.
But you know what you're forgetting, though, Kevin?
That funerals are a hoot!
I don't feel that way about funerals. But there's a new thing, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it. The funeral selfie, the funeral selfie.
This is
somebody that will walk up and they will position themselves so that they hold their camera with their right hand out, and then they take a picture so that their face is in it, as is the dead person in the casket.
Ah, oh, no. I see.
Yes.
I see.
No.
Yes. Yes, it's a
so
thing.
So do you go, well, this is my last chance to get a picture with Grandma. I guess I better go for it.
I don't know. Like, I get the feeling that people are doing this maybe with people they don't know.
No, sir.
Oh, I would think.
No.
You don't think?
Like, they're just trolling people?
Yes. Bean
no.
would. Bean goes to funerals of people he doesn't know.
I'm not taking pictures.
What family member is going to take a selfie?
I was
with them and dead guy.
I was hoping at least it was a family member.
Well, there's a news report out of Quebec, and it's going to be difficult to focus on anything except for the news reporter.
Uh-huh.
But let's try and get through this.
Is it not a success?
It's not a success. Listen to this robot woman.
Quebec's funeral directors are talking about it. How to make sure photos taken
no.
during services are
not
displayed
a,
with dignity.
Not a human.
That is a
no.
human being.
No.
Quebec's funeral directors.
It sounds
are talking
like,
about it.
It sounds like a very inexpensive text-to-speech
yes,
program.
Yes, it does.
Somebody has just translated a newspaper
and
article
And yet it's
for
not.
Us.
It's a woman.
It's a person.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Talking like this.
Quebec's funeral directors are talking about it. How to make sure photos taken during services are displayed with dignity.
Huh.
And it's who's in those photos that's causing concern for some. Tara Schwartz explains.
She's certainly not in a rush, I'll tell you that. So
it's
then
it's very NPR-y, this
yes.
lady, right?
Uh-huh. So then she tosses it out to the girl in the field who does some interviews with people on the street and also funeral directors.
These are not your traditional selfies. These feature the deceased.
Totally bizarre. No, don't understand at all the whole concept of it.
It's a common reaction, even from the young, who post photos of just about everything.
Okay, so now she finds somebody young so
okay.
that she can get their take on it.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's unusual just because, like, so many people are taking selfies and it's just so common now, but personally, I wouldn't do it.
She wouldn't do it, mm-mm. but she doesn't surprise her. But there
so
are funeral
wait.
Selfies.
Wait,
Bean's
going to
start doing this, isn't he?
I dozed off for a second.
Okay.
That person that did this interview, she was pro-funeral selfie? She was not horrified by the concept of it?
The younger girl?
Yeah, she
no,
said,
not at all.
It's not something I would
right.
do.
Right.
But it did, she
gets
it. Didn't
it.
Bother,
yeah.
there, she did not condemn it at all.
Right. Right. That's the girl. Wait till you hear the funeral director not condemn it.
Oh,
what?
My gosh.
That's shocking.
But it is being done. Funeral selfies that are sparking a new conversation.
I'm not surprised about it. I just don't know if it's the right places to do so.
Okay, that's a funeral director.
I'm not surprised.
I'm sad that
we're not surprised by it.
I'm not going to take a position either way.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't really want to come down on it because right? it might be cool.
Maybe it's okay.
This is the most Canadian report ever.
This is the funeral director. If anyone should be outraged by this, it
yes.
should be the funeral director.
Yes.
She's
yes.
like,
this should be the person who says there is no place at any time ever to take pictures of a corpse.
No, I can take it or leave it. You know?
Oh,
just,
my God.
I'm not exactly sure.
I'm not surprised about it.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know if it's the right places to do so.
The Quebec Funeral Directors Association says it's really up to the family to decide if selfies are allowed and appropriate.
I don't think that there's much us funeral director that can do. The good thing is that today, like a day like today, we have the chance to come out and say, well, we are not against it. We just think that there's ways to do it.
Taking photos.
What are the ways to do
it? I
mean,
she knows the better angles, is what she's saying.
What do you have to do? You have to go to the rest of your family. Look over there, you guys. Look over there, quick. And then while they all turn around, you get your photo?
We're not against it.
This is the whole report.
It's
can't.
Very troubling.
Who should
very
be
shaky.
Against it more than the funeral director?
Oh, my God.
And by the way, if she says it's up to the family, is she suggesting that at some point there's a meeting that the family
right.
has?
Yes.
Goes, all right, what are we going to do today, guys? Are we taking pictures with
what's
Grandma
our
or are we not?
Policy with Nana?
What's our policy?
Okay, good. Yeah, thumbs up. Okay, good.
Oh, wow.
Leave it up to the families.
Wow.
So I guess she's just afraid to take a stance either way because she doesn't want to lose business, but she doesn't know.
Well, we are not against it. Oh. We just think that there's ways to do it.
Taking photos at funerals is not new, but taking selfies is. But it's what happens to those photos once they're posted online that has funeral homes concerned.
what do people do with it if they're publishing it without the family's permission? I think that's the biggest concern.
By the way, hold on a second. That's a great point, because this isn't just some jackhole taking a photo with
right.
dead guy.
Right.
This is then putting it on his Instagram feed going, hey, check me out.
Right.
Oh, with dead God. That's very uncool for dead guy's family.
Not according to this funeral director. She's like, take it or leave it.
We're doomed.
You can ask. You know, maybe there's a nice way to do it. Sorry.
TJ writes in on the Kevin Medina Twitter account, nice to see what traumatized me as a child at my great-grandmother's funeral in eastern Kentucky is now a trend.
Oh, no.
Bridget Federley of Kane and Federley says it's a difficult thing to manage and believes we're touching on the beginning of something.
Why is it difficult to manage? Why wouldn't you just say, hey, no selfies?
Have some respect, you freaks. Right?
Unless the family.
Put it on a sign.
I mean, maybe the family, like Bean said, could get together and vote ahead of time. But if they mm-hmm. don't, I would imagine that the funeral home would at least have a policy.
No. By the way, there are so many places that you go into. You know, you go into an antique store and there'll be a no photos policy. They're able mm-hmm. to put that on the wall without controversy.
No,
how can
not
you not
a funeral.
Put that in a funeral home?
She's not sure, Bean. Thumbs up, thumbs down, you make the call.
What? We haven't seen really like big consequences from it yet, so I think it's all new, and we just don't know what to do with it yet.
That's the funeral director.
Wow.
Especially since some wonder if these kinds of photos can be helpful with the grieving process.
Oh.
If you were to ask many psychologists or social workers or anybody in that field, for some people, it's very important to take their picture in order to be able to go through their griefs.
Now, okay, come on.
I mean, honestly.
Come on.
Do you think that the people that are doing funeral selfies are doing it to help themselves cope?
Like, you know what? I wasn't sure what to do with my grief.
Right.
But then when I saw that last picture of me with Nana, I was fine. I was ready to let her go.
I felt better.
No!
Because there was some closure with
this
my...
This is insane!
What's our policy on putting rabbit ears over Nana's head?
Right?
What's our policy on
oh
that?
Oh my God, Snapchat filters on Nana!
Nana loves Snapchat.
Maybe get the permission of the family before doing that.
Oh, okay.
And if it's okay with the family, then go ahead.
For now, it seems that's the consensus before taking a selfie with a dearly departed. Tara Schwartz, CTV News.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to get written permission from everyone I know before they die so that I'm cool when I go to their funeral to take selfies.
I give you my permission now, B.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Right?
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:36.
We'll talk to a Jim Rome coming up just after 8 like we do on Thursday mornings here on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the most bizarre things. Am I exaggerating if I say it's one of the most bizarre things in the history of the NBA happened last night at Madison Square Garden?
It was pretty weird.
A former yeah. star player mm-hmm. was ejected from the stands and arrested.
Yeah.
And he claims he was just there to watch the game, that he bought a ticket and was just sitting in his seat, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah. But that guy's Charles Oakley, so if you know anything about Oakley.
He was doing something.
He was doing something.
It's a bizarre story, so we'll talk to Jim about that coming up. First, though, you mentioned the Cash Me Outside girl. She is.
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
I've never wanted to punch a kid in the face more than I have this Danielle Bregoli. And I know that that's wrong, and I'll accept my punishment if I end up doing it. She was on – Ralph brought this story to our attention yesterday. She was on an episode a couple of months ago of Dr. Phil daytime show called I Want to Give Up My Car-Stealing, Knife-Wielding, Twerking 13-Year-Old Daughter Who Tried to Frame Me for a Crime. You know, like you do.
Sure. Again.
And she's just bad on every single level. And that has become her catchphrase, which I think in this clip that we have from the Dr. Phil show, I think she may even explain, or her mother will translate for Dr. Phil, who doesn't speak Danielle, what she was indicating there.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like so funny.
She's talking about the audience that they're laughing at her.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah.
Why are people applauding?
This is the Lord.
That's a great question.
Hey, Rose, everybody. This, by the way, this little girl that Dr. Phil can't understand because she barely speaks English is a 13-year-old white girl, and she talks like this.
Yeah, she's the best. That's what we're saying, right?
No.
No.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah.
Catch you outside? What does that mean?
What I just said.
catch her outside and she'll go outside and do what she has to do. That's what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is
okay,
all,
yeah.
This is all, but don't you see that this is all mouth? This is mouth.
Oh, so you want to take this outside? Because I think they can bring cameras outside.
Really? Because I think I flipped you.
You want to do it again?
Danny, don't get all tough. Please don't. This is not the place,
hey,
and this is not
sit
the
time. Sit down.
Sit down.
All right, Danny.
All right.
Sit down.
Flip me now.
So, Cash Me Outside, How About That? Becomes an internet sensation, and it's a huge meme.
Catch me outside.
Okay. The clip of that video has been seen 100 million times on YouTube. And Dr. Phil did not have her arrested and put immediately in jail. So I kind of blame him for the fact that she's still out there.
How dare you? Dr. Phil's just trying to do his job
last week,
a non-doctor.
Last week, Danielle, Allie, do you know this? Last week, Danielle did a Facebook Live video for an hour where her fans interacted with her. It was called Cash Me Live, and among other things, she counted dollar bills sitting on Facebook.
I can't.
That's no. What Danielle's about. So let's get Dr. Phil on and find out what the progress is, if he's able to maybe help out this poor family with Danielle. Dr. Phil, welcome back to Kevin Meacham, my friend. How are you?
First of all, if you're threatening violence against a 13-year-old girl, I think there's a problem with you.
So well, that's Bean saying that he wants to punch the kid in the face.
That's what I'm saying. I think you need to come on the show
right,
and sit down, and we need to take an hour-long look inside your head.
I understand where you're coming from, and ordinarily I would never punch a kid, but seriously, the Cash Me Out girl, come on, Dr. Phil.
First of all, Danielle is her name, okay?
Danielle. Right. Okay.
We don't call her the Cash Me Out kid.
Cash okay. Me Out Thaw, how about that?
All right.
This girl has a name.
Right.
And she is deeply troubled.
She is.
Right. And unfortunately for her, but fortunately for me, she is huge ratings.
Yep.
There you go.
She'll be on again tomorrow, so make sure you tune in.
Oh, having her back, are you?
Yeah, she'll be on again tomorrow so we can help her. And then hopefully help her again in about another month.
Right. She's doing sweeps, though, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, we'll see her again in March and then in November during fall sweeps as well.
You didn't seem to understand a single word she was saying.
Well, no, she talks so funny.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I had to count on her mom to translate for me what she was saying.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that I don't care what she says as long as people tune in, right? I've set her on fire on stage. I don't care.
Now, you talk a lot about maybe getting people help after the show. Was there any follow-up with her?
Nope.
Not at all.
No, you don't want to plug an oil well, right? Once it starts spewing that Texas tea.
Right.
That black gold.
Right.
You're not going to put a cap on that.
Right.
No, I mean, she's beyond help. This girl's screwed.
Oh, that's
catch
the conclusion.
Me outside. How about that?
That's right. The conclusion. She can't be helped. She's so far gone. Okay.
She's so damaged that she's going to end up in a trailer park someplace and either beaten up with a tire iron or something's going to go horribly wrong. So let's just make the most of it, I say.
Okay. You don't feel bad about that at all, Dr. Phil?
Look, either way, she's going to go down in flames.
Right. Okay.
No. If I can make a few bucks off it,
all right.
I mean, either way, I can't help her.
Right.
I don't have those kind of skills.
Because you're not a doctor.
You're not even a real doctor anymore.
No.
Right.
I'm just a guy on television. So
this is gold.
You find a bag of money in the street, one of those cartoon bags with a dollar sign on the side,
right. Sure.
Like a cartoon bank robber would carry,
gotcha.
And you open it up, and it's filled with untraceable $100 bills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Come on, what are you going to do? Right? And if it has to destroy a 13-year-old's life in the process, there's a lot of 13-year-olds out there. How many bags of cash are you going to find?
You know, I can't argue with Dr. Phil on this.
It's tough to argue with that.
He wouldn't be over here.
And Bean, if you'd like to punch her live on television, we'd love to have you.
There you go. When's she on again? I'm sorry.
Oh. She's on. I see it. Oh, giant man takes on 13-year-old. How about that girl? Oh, can you imagine the numbers?
First of all, she has a name, and it's Danielle, Dr. Phil. How dare you?
Take it on the road. Do a mall tour.
I'm in. LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 7:51, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rob is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's new? What's happening? What's going on? What's the latest? What's the haps?
Well, Saturday night at 10 p.m., I'll tell you what's haps. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose yet again to bring you another delicious, hot, steamy episode
of Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Hot and steamy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bromance come to life right there on stage. Me and Smith, we have a blast, and I think you would too. If you come out and join us at Hollywood Babylon, you can see it Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com and click on Hollywood for more details and to get your tickets.
No.
And while we're talking comedy at its finest, tonight, I'm very excited, is the premiere of CNN's new original series, The History of Comedy.
Yeah! Kids love it.
Oh,
kids love CNN, huh?
I think the kids love comedy.
Oh, right.
More importantly. It is The History of Comedy, starting with vaudeville and stand-up and television and movies. Tonight's episode are those groundbreaking comedians who were willing to risk their careers and sometimes even their freedom in order to broaden the spectrum of what we talk about in terms of comedy. It's called Effing Funny is tonight's episode, so you can check that out. And they have been kind enough to give us a $100 Visa gift card to give away. As we celebrate all things comedy, I thought it'd be fun to ask a little trivia question featuring one of my favorite comedians in one of my favorite roles in one of my favorite comic movies. I'm going to play a clip of this comedian from that movie, and you need to tell me the name of the comedian and the film. This is the movie that pretty much made him explode on the public scene back in the day. First caller through at 1-800-520-1067 will win that $100 Visa gift card. Here is your audio clue.
I was born a poor black child.
There you go. That's all you need. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person through with the name of the actor and the movie will win that gift card.
I was born a poor black child.
Tell me about it.
Thanks. Now I got to see the movie again.
I know that feeling. We mentioned it yesterday, but in case you didn't hear, Blondie and Garbage are going to be co-headlining a concert tour this summer.
That sounds great.
Yeah! Yes! Yes! Right. Oh, my goodness!
Right?
Yes! Right. Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm with him.
And John Doe and Xene from X are also going to be performing.
All right.
The first half of the tour, they'll be opening for the ladies of Garbage and Blondie, and then Deep Valley will be covering the rest of the dates. Blondie has a new album, by the way, called Pollinator, which is out in May. And the tour begins in July and wraps up in August in Dallas. But I think tickets go on sale the 17th of this month, so we'll give you more details. But I would go see that.
I love that.
Spike Cable Network is changing its name.
No.
Yes.
Bet on my hat.
We know it started off as the Nashville Network.
Really?
It did.
You didn't know that?
No.
No.
It was the Nashville Network. And then it became TNN. You remember TNN?
Oh, I do remember TNN.
That stood for the Nashville Network.
Did not know that.
And then they changed it to Spike. And now they're changing it again to the Paramount Network. The Paramount Network.
I feel like Spike has been relatively successful, and there's some equity in that name. I'm a little bit surprised to see them jettison it.
I believe,
did they get sold or something? Is that what happened?
I believe it is a corporate branding move. They're getting into business with Paramount, and now Paramount will have a TV network to go to along with its film studio and production company. So I'm assuming Paramount will start producing content for that network exclusively.
That makes sense.
Maybe not exclusively, but in addition to.
Right.
Just saying. Joe Schmo's just sitting there. Franchise just sitting there. Nobody's doing anything with it. So
yeah.
Paramount, if you'd like to revive that, if you want to bring it back.
Right.
If you'd like to do another season, a fourth season of the Joe Schmo Show. I'm just saying. I know dozens of people who would watch.
That's the Falcon looking, has spoken.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah.
I don't remember how that went.
The Falcon Twist.
Right.
Come on, man.
Montecore, the Falcon Twist,
oh,
Kevin.
Sorry, my bad.
That was season two, man. Way behind.
Loved it.
I
bet there's a young host out there who would love to walk in your footsteps and take over that role.
What was Lorenzo Lamas's European pouch? Was that his Speedo?
His European man pouch.
Yeah.
God,
that was pretty strong.
That was good.
And while we're talking about strong television, Bill Nye the Science Guy is back with a new Netflix show. Bill Nye Saves the World is set to begin on Friday, April 12th. I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet, but it looks awesome. And it will feature discussions on many topics. It's not just for kids. Topics including sex, climate change, GMOs, video games, alternative medicine, and a great list of guests as well, too. Zach Braff and Donald Faison from Scrubs are going to stop by. Rachel Bloom is going to be on there doing some musical numbers. Joel McHale, Will Wheaton, Project Runway's Tim Gunn, and many more. So that looks to be fun.
It's science.
It is science. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe we have Lisa on the phone from Riverside. Lisa?
Hey, party people.
I'm going to play the clip one more time. You tell me the actor in the movie. Here we go.
I was born a poor black child.
There you go.
That is Steve Martin as Maven Johnson in The Jerk.
That's right.
There you go.
Congratulations. Yay! Hold on. We're going to give you all your details, but you're going to win a $100 Visa gift card from the folks at CNN. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Lisa.
Did I ever tell you about the day that Steve Martin died?
Steve Martin's not dead, Mike.
I know, but I always thought that the day that he died would be the worst day of my life. Yeah. And I was wrong. It's this.
Oh, wow. It's nice.
He hates these cans! Remember when the guy shooting at him? The sniper and he's shooting the oil cans? The new phone book's here! This is the kind of spontaneous publicity that gets people places.
My name's in print.
I love that movie. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael B. Jordan is 30 years old today. Tom Hiddleston celebrates his 36th birthday. Gigi Zhang, very lovely and talented actress, is 38. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the new movie Fist Fight, is 41 years old today. From Daft Punk, Guy-Manuel de Homem-Christo.
Oh. Wow, well said.
I have no idea if that's even close.
So well, you sold it.
Can't tell if it's well said or not. 43 years old today, and Joe Pesci turned 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Here's what you want to do. Every day from 9 till noon, you want to get fired up and go to JimRome.com for 3 hours of the best sports talk in America. If you can't or you miss it or you want to hear it again, don't forget JimRome.com or Play.it or iTunes for the Jim Rome Daily Jungle podcast, which is the best of that day. Show. We're delighted once again to welcome our friend Jim back to the Kevin Bean program and back from Houston, Texas. We haven't talked to you since before the Super Bowl. How was your trip, Jim?
Bam! I'm back. It's so good to be back. Sorry I missed you last week. I had an awesome time in Houston. I stayed the entire week right through the game. Did one more show on Monday. The mother of all road trips. It was awesome.
It was a hell of a game to see in person, man. I know you've been covering a lot of sporting events in your long, long career. You'll never forget that one, I bet.
One of the best ever. One of the best ever, and I'm not going to lie. When it was 28-3 and the Falcons were up 25 points, I'm like, this thing's over. Yep. It is definitely over, and yet they came roaring back, Allie. They did you proud. I did not see that coming, but it was a truly awesome game.
Do you all understand why I kept saying, I just don't feel good, but there's something about this that I don't feel good about? I looked pretty damn smart up until the fourth quarter, didn't
I? And then you were completely wrong.
Totally wrong.
Well, but listen.
They did it.
Yeah,
we're gonna get back to the Patriots in a minute because I know you really enjoyed their victory parade. But we got to start with what everybody is talking about today, and that was the melee at Madison Square Garden last night. Jim, there's so much to unpack on this. First of all, the Knicks are a dumpster fire anyway. They got nothing but problems, and a lot of people are really criticizing Phil Jackson right now, right?
Let's be very clear about this. I did enjoy that Patriots parade, but not nearly as much as I enjoyed Charles Oakley trying to fight the entire organization last night. You want to talk about a dumpster fire. Right when you thought they could not be any more of a circus or a joke, it took six dudes to subdue Oakley, who is an extremely large, proud, and strong man, and he will go. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, he was a troublemaker when he played.
No, let's not confuse troublemaker with enforcer. This guy was great. He was a very, very tough dude and an enforcer. So everybody knows this is a guy not to be trifled with. He will go. Trust me. The six security dudes are lucky they're not in a hospital right now. When this is really important. When Charles Oakley turns to a fan and says, quote, hold my watch, we should all be thankful that nobody left that building in a body bag.
He was trying to get that watch off to his friend the whole fight.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So what do you think happened? There are so many conflicting reports. I mean, there were some reports that he was mouthing off to the GM who was sitting a few seats away, right?
But the chairman, the owner of the team.
But he claims he just bought a ticket. He went in there and he sat down like a fan to watch the game. So something doesn't square here.
No, well, the two sides were not on the same page. Charles Oakley was a great Nick. He played there 10 years. Rangers, and then they traded him to Toronto, and he was devastated by that fact, and he's been critical of them in the past, and Dolan doesn't like that, so now he's just not welcome there. They treat him like crap. Considering who this guy is, they treat him like crap. Now, his story is just that he bought his own ticket, he went to the game, and then these security guys roll up on him and say, what are you doing here? You got to get out of here. And then he said, I'm not going anywhere. Next thing you know, he pokes one dude in the face, a reason to go. Another dude gets pushed, and he's rocking the silver bracelets. I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. But I'm going to side with him over the owner every day of the week.
What was the fans' reaction when it all
went
down?
They loved it. They loved it. They were chanting his name. See, look.
Because something was happening at a Knicks game.
Something good. That was something they were finally going to win. He was going to knock a few guys out. But look, I don't condone putting his hands on security guards or poking one in the face. But the fact of the matter is, the guy went there just to have a good time. And the fans love him. They've always loved him. He loves them. And it's just another black eye and a terrible, terrible look for the Knicks, who are the biggest joke ever now. They're an embarrassment.
What is the problem with Phil Jackson and Carmelo Anthony? Why are they butting heads, Jim?
All right, so what's going on here is Jackson brings this guy in, and Carmelo Anthony is doing essentially what he's done his entire career. He's a ball hog and a black hole in the sense that the ball goes in and it never comes out. Now, he's a great, great offensive player, but Jackson was the guy who thought, I can change him. I can make him into Kobe. I can make him into Mike. You know, all the things that everybody's tried to do with Melo, it didn't work, and so now Jackson wants to get rid of him. Now he's bent because he can't reach him. So he's tweaking him on Twitter. He's cracking him publicly. And the only reason you do something like that is either you're a jerk, or you're trying to aggravate him enough to get him to waive his no trade, or you're trying to get yourself fired, or all of the above. In short, the guy's in way over his head, and Jackson couldn't be handling this any worse.
And Anthony's completely in charge.
Yeah, because he's got no trade clause.
Yeah.
He's got a huge freaking contract with Jackson gave him. And even more importantly, he can veto any trade. He's got the hammer in his hand, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. See, the problem with Anthony is he's not about the ring. He's not about winning. He's about living in New York, being the man, and taking as many shots as he possibly can. And he doesn't have to go anywhere at all. That's why Jackson's trying to get under his skin. He's trying to get him to waive that no trade clause.
Because he's this very specific kind of player that you described, though, would another team, do you think, be real happy to get him? Like the Clippers, if they could, if Carmelo changed his mind, they'd want him, right?
Yeah, depending on what they have to give up to get him. I mean, the thing about Carmelo is if he's all that, it's kind of interesting that the Clippers are saying, yeah, we might be open to a move, but you can't have Chris Paul, and you can't have DeAndre, and you can't have Blake. In other words, we like this guy, but not nearly enough to give up one of our three best. So they like him, but they don't like him that much.
He brings a lot of baggage. I feel like he's Kobe in his last season, which is just he's a great player, but there's always a lot of trouble that follows him.
He's a great offensive player.
Right.
And he's a guy, look, I mean, the guy, if he really wanted to win, if he was about the right stuff, if he was about winning, he would have never re-signed with New York. They don't give him a chance to win. He doesn't want to be a champion. And also, people like to say, yeah, but he won a national championship. Right, like 40 years ago. Yeah, but he won gold medals. Right, but he had a bunch of great players around him, and everybody they went up against was inferior. So I'm not buying his act, but Jackson's way worse in this regard.
This is the voice of our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our Thursday weekly visit. All right, let's change gears. The Patriots win another Super Bowl. They have a parade in very cold weather Tuesday in Boston. The players were having the best time they've ever had in their life, weren't they, Jim?
They were, and so were the fans. And let's not confuse parade with a bleep you anti-Roger Goodell propaganda parade. Those are fans.
That's my Uncle
chanting.
Sully right there. I can hear him.
Right? Is that your family, Allie?
That is, pretty
Bleep
much.
Goodell. Bleep Goodell. So we can stop with this nonsense about how the commissioner would be welcome back in Foxborough, because it still sounds like every last one of them wants to fight him with their Bleep Goodell chants. Wait, one more chant, guys, before you cut me loose. I never thought I'd see the day that the hoodie, Bill Belichick, would start a chant at a parade. Check this. Best of all, he had a chant, and it was consistent with his brand.
No!
Guys, that's Belichick chanting no days off.
That's the worst chant ever.
Right? One problem, Ferris Bueller. You and the other 1 million folks who were there took the day off to attend the Bleep Goodell party, remember?
Who's the worst person to start a chant to? He just sounds like nobody.
No days off. Oh, you mean like that one you took to go on Fallon on Monday too, Hood?
No days off.
I mean, look, we know Bill Belichick is a bizarre guy, and that's what makes him a great catch, is his intense focus. But why can't he enjoy something for a minute, Jim? Why was he already complaining the day after the Super Bowl that they were weeks behind getting prepared for next season?
He said, we're 5 weeks behind. And now, looking at that, they're now 5 weeks and 2 days behind. Yeah, why can't he enjoy it? Why can't he be like this guy, the MVP of the parade, the most vicious partier, Gronk?
What's up, Boston?
Tell me who's having more fun, him or the hood.
Yeah, and shirt off, chugging beer.
Yeah, Gronk. Right?
Unreal.
Yeah, by the way, if you look like that guy, why would you ever even own a shirt, right, much less put one on?
Say, that is fantastic. All right, you can hear much more about that and so many other great topics today from 9 till noon. JimRome.com to check out the show. And don't forget the Daily Jungle podcast, available where podcasts play. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you next week, sir.
Guys, that was bitching. See ya.
Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show, 851.
You know, I usually am quick to discount him as a nut job, but Alex Jones made a lot of sense today.
Right?
I really feel like he's on the pulse of something. And the mainstream media is just not covering that stuff.
He is on the pulse
of
something.
Fake media. That's why. It's fake media. Exactly. Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky's got some help for beer mug and his hair loss problems that he practically cried over yesterday. So we'll get into that coming up right after tonight.
It wasn't practically. He cried.
Come on. You guys.
Have a heart. It was hitting him hard. I think we need to step in and we need to do everything we can for him, because we're going to lose mugs if he doesn't get some hair up there fast. First, though, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
We had some calls, by the way, in the last segment. Folks chiming in, letting us know why Alex Jones was playing Flock of Seagulls during this segment.
Okay.
Iran.
Uh-huh. Iran so far away.
No. Iran.
Invading.
Made a reference to the invading. Iran. Invading and destroying Iran.
Ah.
Oh, okay. So we have Alex Jones watchers that called in, do you think?
What?
Do you think they watch Alex Jones?
They're listening. Put on your tinfoil hat.
That is terrifying.
No, I think people just heard that and put it two and two together, and they came up with Iran.
It makes sense.
The song, and he's been very vocal about him wanting to take out Iran.
All right.
So far away.
How do you come up with this stuff?
Right?
Where does this come from?
Right?
Why?
Just telling you what some people are saying, Alex.
People are saying.
It's disgusting.
A lot of people are saying that that's what you meant by that song, okay? You're going to get so tired of Flock of Seagulls, you won't want to listen anymore.
Right? The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
He's got a point.
Saturday.
He's committed to Satan.
Right. Saturday night, 10 p.m.
I can't judge him. Only God can do that. Yeah, but he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
Right. Okay. Saturday night at 10 p.m.
John, I hate that guy right there.
Me and Kevin Smith are going to be taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose doing Hollywood Babylon. Doing it on a rare Saturday night as opposed to our usual Friday night slot. Give those folks a chance who can't make it on Fridays to come on out and see us. So 10 p.m. Saturday night, go to improv.com to get your tickets. Love to
see you
there.
You see how white people do?
Come on. Can't help it.
I mean, you are white.
I was born a poor black child, just like Navin R. Johnson. Hey, I got passes to give away. K-Rock is doing a very cool advanced screening of The Great Wall with Matt Damon, brand new feature film. That is going to be on February 15th at the Pacific Theaters at the Grove. Plus, also, Tom Bien, we have a grand prize, which is a four-pack of VIP passes to the premiere of that same movie at the TCL Chinese Theater and access to the TCL suite and TCL box as well. So if you are excited, as the rest of us are, about this new Matt Damon movie, The Great Wall, and you'd like to see it in advance screening and maybe go to the premiere as well, why don't you give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number will get a pair of passes to the advance screening and be entered to qualify for the VIP premiere experience at the TCL Chinese Theater. Matt Damon is, he rarely makes a misstep.
Agreed.
Sure, he did that Siamese twin movie with Greg Kinnear, but come on, not everybody's perfect, right?
I'm not sure everyone loved We Bought a Zoo either.
By the way,
you're coming.
Just watched it recently and was really good.
We Bought a Zoo?
The zoo movie?
I didn't hate it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I seem to remember at the time a lot of people didn't love it.
It was, Ralph.
What kind of time do you have on your hands when you're going back to revisit So I Bought a Zoo? What is... How? What a gaping hole is your life?
It's no gaping hole. I had time with my daughter, and then she got to pick, and she said, we bought a zoo.
You've got a zoo time.
And I said, that's a ridiculous choice. Choose something else. And she said, no, it's good. I've seen it. So I watched it, and it was good.
Did it have louds in it that I'm unaware of?
No.
Wasn't there one tiger went,
maybe that
must have been kind of loud for you.
It's good.
Stop it.
Back to you. You guys don't know me.
You just
we don't pour your cereal.
Don't pour my cereal.
You just wander around your house in a bathrobe and your slippers, don't you? Just say, anybody want to do something? Anybody have a pick for a movie?
Hey, what about the movie club? Didn't they have a suggestion for you? What about the Cinema Sinners?
I think they threw him out. I get the sense that he's not part of the movie club.
I mean, I haven't heard
anymore.
From him, if that's what you're saying.
Ever since you
Kevin
went public
with
him. Kevin
walks around with a bowl of strawberry ice cream and a robe and slippers, just begging someone to give him an idea of something to do.
I have a very full life, Ralph. Thank you.
Full of what? Full of slippers and strawberry ice cream.
What else is there?
Well, there's other things.
Light bulb in your pocket.
Look what I found in my pocket, everybody. Oh, what is everybody? Anybody home?
You never know when you might need a light bulb.
I got a yo-yo.
Or you find yourself on a roof at somebody else's house and no way to get back in.
Oh, that happens.
I have a newt. I found a newt in my pocket.
That happens to everyone.
Speaking of movies, here's a town in Oklahoma that's taking its cue from the classic Kevin Bacon film Footloose. The organizers of the Valentine's Day dance in the town of Henrietta, Oklahoma, have canceled the event because it breaks a moral law.
Oh, no.
The town has an old law in the books that forbids dancing within 500 feet of a place of worship, and there's a church 300 feet away from the dance venue.
Uh-oh.
So the mayor had to shut it down.
Hit the dance floor. Had I want to see you dance.
And shut down the Valentine's Day dance because it's breaking the no dancing law.
Oh, no.
I wonder if they're going to have any go-go dancers.
Wow. No, Rodney, they won't have go-go dancers. Any dancers. The kids won't be able to dance.
What do they think is the worst possible scenario if people start dancing within 500 feet of a church?
Because
bumping uglies.
Right. Leaves to the devil's friction.
Yeah.
Bean.
Was it aware that devil's friction was a possibility?
Saw them at the troop, by the way. Come on, it's Footloose. Haven't we, as a society, moved past the horrors of the Footloose battle, the Battle of Footloose?
With go-go dancers.
Right.
We didn't need someone to rise up in Henrietta, Oklahoma, much like Ren did.
Yeah.
And just bam, da bam, da bam, da bam, bam, just go all over the freaking place and bang on his hood. Let's hear it for the man. Right? Here for the boy.
Yeah. 95. PGC. I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
It's never gonna go.
Dean Baxter, why did you say that made your foot loose? What did you say when you first heard about the law in Oklahoma?
Oh, wow, there's a flashback from the 80s for you there.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
I say we all take a road trip to Henrietta, Oklahoma, like and we start dancing our asses off.
I like it.
In thongs.
And what are they?
We start shaking our pale white asses right there in front of the church. What are they going to do, arrest us? Your Honor, my clients were clearly insane when they danced in thongs in front of your church.
I'm in.
That's,
you know me, dance or die.
Won't they be wearing their tube tops?
Yeah.
I'm sure they will be.
Tube tops,
so
right.
Yeah, check that out. I think they're on 16 or 17.
Oh.
No, one of them's 16.
Okay. That's
all right. There's a whole other set of laws in Oklahoma, I think, that have to do with that.
Get rid of that.
Yeah, maybe delete that clip.
Come back and fight you.
Just
Delete it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Pesci, 74 years old today. Actor Charlie Day is 41. Zizi Zhang, very lovely and talented actress. International star, 38 years old today. Tom Hiddleston's 36. And Michael B. Jordan turns 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know.
Our friend Dr. Drew is a very busy man. He has a bunch of podcasts, including a daily one with Adam Carolla, by the way. He's got the Weekly Infusion podcast. He's got his regular OG podcast. He's on weekday afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KABC from noon till 3. And he also makes time once a week to talk to us on the Kevin and Bean Show about pressing issues of the day. And we welcome you back to the program, Doctor. How are you?
Thank you. My pleasure. I hear there's an emergency for Muggs.
There is.
Yes. Muggs started crying this week when somebody pointed out something about his hair. And apparently he is very, very sensitive as a man who's only in his early 30s to already have lost so much hair, which confuses me because I have a luxurious head of hair. I'm much older than Beard Eddie. I may have more hair than I had when I was 20. I look so good. But apparently it's a common thing that a lot of people have. I mean, have you encountered that in the past, hearing young men who really take it seriously when they start losing hair, Doc?
No, I've never seen male pattern balding before. I've never seen that because I, too, have a very full head of hair.
You are all rotten.
Guys are dicks.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Drew, it happened sort of weirdly in that Ralph made a comment about Beer Mug's styling of his hair. Like, he put some gel in it and just sort of combed it back. And he wasn't even talking about baldness. And Mug's pretty much fell into a puddle on the floor. I can't grow hair!
Oh my God.
We were like, what's going on, man?
Oh, my God. It's so unfortunate he's on morning radio because, you know, I mean, there's no hope for him. But, okay, so let's try to help him.
Wait, it's our fault now.
Yeah, please do, because I would think, look, anything that involves medicine and men, usually doctors spend a lot of time and give a lot of money to those causes. So if it affects them, they're interested in figuring out a way to solve it. So what's being done? Is there anything new on people who lose their hair and what can be done for them?
Well, I you know, when I heard we were going to talk about this space, I thought, well, you know, that's over. You know, we know exactly what to do, and we've got a couple things we can do, and that's that. And then I looked it up online. I specifically was looking up the stuff that Matthew McConaughey was involved with, and I was stunned by how many different nonsense treatments there are out there. I couldn't believe it. So let me just start with what we know works. And of course, what works is what works. What works is Rogaine that prevents loss. It's a medication. It was originally a blood pressure medication called minoxidil that we noticed when we were using for blood pressure that it grew hair. Mm-hmm. So they've developed a topical product, and lo and behold, it prevents hair loss. And it works. Sometimes it works a lot, and sometimes it regrows hair. So,
what about cow urine? How about cow urine?
I figure urine and semen would come into the mix here somewhere.
Bull semen is one of them.
Bull semen, mm-hmm. No doubt. Yep, makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, bulls are very virile. So
right.
Semen rubbing your hair, and naturally you'll grow hair. But by the way, that sort of defies the physiology, because the reality is it's the masculine, it's the testosterone that's causing the hair loss. And so, though it's a genetic phenomenon, Muggs should wear his hair loss like a badge of honor. It's saying he's more masculine.
I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm a real man.
I'm a man.
Dr. Drew mentioned Rogaine. That's something you've tried, right?
Yeah, I tried Rogaine, Drew, and am I mistaken, but it only works for male pattern baldness and not for a receding hairline?
It works better for the stuff on the back of the head. It's all male pattern, but the stuff on the cap is it works better for it. But I've seen it work remarkably well, particularly for hair loss, like preventing the loss in the temples. Now, again, probably 30-40% of the time, but you know, you may be one of those people who didn't help. Then there's Propecia, right?
Yeah.
Propecia is a medicine that was originally designed to deal with prostate health. It also blocks testosterone. The problem with Propecia is it does have side effects. The lower dose than we normally use for prostate, but it can cause low libido. And the really scary thing, and I had to call all my patients on Propecia and tell them this, which is if they stay on it a while, even when you get off, you could still be stuck with low libido. And
yeah.
Interestingly, all the men I told that to elected to stay on the Propecia.
Really?
They'd rather have hair than have sex?
Well, I think they sort of balanced out and figured, well, it's not going to get any worse than I'm experiencing right now. I'm pretty good. I'd rather have my hair and so on. They go, and that, by the way, that's a testament to how well Propecia works.
Wow. Muggs is not cool with that, however.
Well, ED
is a sex machine.
Right. I am. Nonstop.
Well, okay.
But will ED drugs counterbalance the effects of Propecia?
Remember, ED drugs are for erection only, not for libido.
Oh.
And Propecia decreases libido. And so, yeah, you can get an erection, but you may not want to use it if you're on Propecia. But anyway,
right.
You
may not want to use it.
Thing ever.
I've got it. Just got have no it. Interest in using it.
Not in the mood.
Muggs, is it the greatest tragedy in the world, though, that you are so hairy all over the rest of your body? If you could just redistribute that hair.
Well, that's another procedure, right, Dr. Drew? They could take it from other parts of your body.
Where?
His ball fro?
Yeah.
No.
I got plentiful. It's plentiful down there.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Yes, they can take it from his back and they can put it on his head.
They didn't
and,
say
that's not the sort of mainstay treatment.
They didn't say back at all.
Right.
We
said
the operation,
balls.
The procedures really do work. They really are good. I have lots of friends and patients that do these procedures. They're expensive,
right.
But they're happy they did them. And really, when you get there are people out there that do lots of these procedures. That's all they do. And it's, you know, hair by hair, essentially. And so you don't see the plugs. But, you know, there are treatments out there that work. So don't waste too much money on all the nonsense treatments, even though almost every treatment I looked into had somebody that said it worked for them, which I thought
about
was
that?
Interesting.
So
all right,
should
listen,
we cancel
Dr.
the
Drew.
Bowl coming tomorrow?
We cancel the bowl. We're almost out of time here, Dr. Drew. And unfortunately, we're having some trouble with your phone because you're traveling. But I have to ask this. How about... Is there any kind of mental health advice you can give for somebody like Beer Mug to kind of get over it? I mean, isn't there any way that you can be happy with the way your head looks without it having a full head of hair? Is that not a possibility?
No, it's a possibility, especially in this day and age when everybody wears their hair any which way, right? I mean, a lot of people shave their head and then have hair.
Right.
So it's sort of cool to be bald right now. You're lucky. Look, what's the guy, Jason Statham? I mean,
Jason Statham, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool time to be...
Muggs, it's cool to be bald. Come on, man. See what happens. It's cool.
I don't know.
You'll be cool.
Shave.
All right, drdrew.com for all the podcasts, live appearances, and more. And don't forget Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon till 3 on 790 KABC. Have a great trip wherever you are, Doc. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Hey guys,
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Doug Myers, by the way, from Covina, our latest winner. He'll be seeing the Lumineers tomorrow night at that K-Rock private Grammy party. And he's eligible to go to Cape Town, South Africa. Grand prize drawing coming up, I guess, on our show tomorrow, right? 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, I think we're doing that. Round trip airfare and hotel and $500 spending cash could be coming your way as well, Douglas. All right, Ralph is here with our last look at the showbiz beat for Thursday. What's happening?
Lady Gaga... It's finally standing up to her fat shamers. We covered this story earlier in the week, but for some reason, some people just teed off on her on the social medias, the mediums, regarding her being fat.
Yeah, which is,
Lady
almost,
Gaga!
Is absurd.
From her Super Bowl performance, which I can't imagine where you even get that idea. It's obviously misguided, but I don't even understand what sparks that idea.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, sometimes people can take a small flaw and then
exaggerate,
blow it way out of proportion for a painful effect on social media. But I don't even understand where they got the idea for this.
I don't know.
She seems nothing but in shape and thin to me. Anyway.
What will Lady Gaga do to entertain the world?
Right? Dick knows.
I hate you.
What's the matter, Allie? We're just playing a little Dick Clark talking about Gaga.
Okay, what's Gaga saying?
Anyway, she came back and she posted a photo of her Versace bodysuit that she wore.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
The Super Bowl halftime show. And she said, I'm proud of my body, and you should be proud of yours, too.
And then for her.
Gaga said, there's a million reasons why you don't need to cater to anyone or anything to succeed. And she urged her fans, be you and be relentlessly you.
Yeah.
Except for Bean. He could be a little less.
A little less.
Yeah.
Tiny bit less.
She added, which I thought was odd.
Holy mazel!
Right? I think Dick Clark speaks for us all.
Right?
Meanwhile, Mariah Carey, while we're talking divas, this is a great story. It's probably not true, but I choose to believe it. You know Brian Tanaka? Her backup singer / boyfriend? This is the guy she supposedly was having an affair with when her then-fiancé...
The billionaire.
Yeah. James Packer, I want to say.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That does sound right, yeah.
Broke it off with her because she was reportedly having an affair with this guy. Well, This story claims that Mariah Carey's management asked Brian to fawn over her, to be overtly affectionate and attentive while they were filming Mariah Carey's reality show.
Okay.
And that he gladly jumped at the opportunity to help his career. They said, we will feature you prominently in the show if you can fawn all over her and be overtly affectionate.
Okay.
Is this why she keeps going through so many personal assistants? Is because they asked them to do dumb things for TV?
Well, this is her apparent boyfriend. It's not just a personal assistant.
All right.
Now, that's when things, apparently, according to sources, got out of control. Apparently, he's enjoying his newfound fame so much, he's asking for a raise. Mm-mm. Between $15,000 and $25,000 per episode.
Ellie says no.
Nope.
Why?
No.
This is a strange, quick reaction.
So fake.
He wants to be compensated more for his role on her reality
this
show.
This just in. We can find another Brian Tanaka in 8 seconds.
Listen, Tanakas don't grow on trees.
Right?
I beg to differ.
Tanaka is now and forever. It's like
I'll
cats.
Find a Tanaka in the hallway.
You won't find Tanaka.
There's one in here.
There's no Tanaka in
here. I'm pointing at him.
It's making no sense.
Talk about energy. Boy, I feel it in the air.
Right? What an opportunity, Tanaka's, you need to answer. Hey, come on! Guy can't make a joke around here.
Right?
Getting slapped with a file.
Now we have a lot more entertainment for you. Come on, so don't call it that yet.
Okay.
Right. Don't do that.
I think we've got it.
So now apparently the issue of the money is coming between them and their relationship is on the rocks. Because
I believe all of this.
I do too. Even if it's not true, I believe it.
Yeah, there's very little that's unbelievable in that story.
Yeah. Because, look, he probably said, look, I don't want to be on camera just fawning all over her and stuff. Just leave me out of it. And they said, we'll throw you a little cash and we'll feature you largely on the television show. So that'll be make it worth your while. And he said, okay. And now he's got a little taste. Now he wants to be Kevin Federline. It's who he wants to be, right?
Boy, when you're looking up to Kevin Federline.
it all worked out so well for him. Bob Dylan.
Yes.
He's doing two concerts in Stockholm, Sweden. He finally buckled down, and he is going to do a couple shows in Sweden so he can pick up that $1 million check that he gets for his Nobel Prize in Literature.
He's finally acknowledging that great honor.
Yes. He's going to give his lecture at the Swedish Academy. Which sounds like a massage parlor, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like you go to get a little rub and tug?
No doubt there's an upstairs at the Swedish
Academy.
Wait a minute,
I'm going to stop by the Swedish Academy and get my diploma, get my sheepskin. There's codes for everything.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's going to do those shows, and then he'll give a speech, and then he'll be able to catch him.
Guys, I know that Bob Dylan is following his own path, and he doesn't need to be conventional and all that, but what's the deal with his next record coming out being another standards album? And it's a triple album.
He's doing
three albums worth of him doing the Great American Songbook. Like, what's that about?
I can't find any interest in that story.
Myself.
No,
it doesn't strike you as so incredibly odd that you want to know what the motivation is. He's not going to sell very many records of those. Nobody wants to hear him sing those songs. I just don't understand what the motivation is. Like, why,
Kevin? Even you who. Let's say not a student of history, would have to say it's odd for a man who was known as the voice of a generation of unrest and upheaval
for his songwriting, right?
Man who was the voice of protest for a generation where America was lost in the midst of a horrible, unjust war and racial unrest, and he was a beacon of guidance for a lot of young Americans who didn't really know how to make their way in what was happening in society.
But all of that trouble is now gone. We're all good in America.
See, that's what I'm saying is we're not. So how weird that a guy who built his life and career on that sort of songwriting would now want to sing Frank Sinatra's Witchcraft at the end of his life.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I just, and this is going to be, with this triple album, he'll have done 5 albums worth of songbook songs.
And he can't sing.
He can't sing, that's for sure.
The only thing he had going for him was his songwriting ability and his ability to move people with his poetry, in essence.
Yeah, it's very troubling.
Now he would say, I've got you under my skin.
You're just sick of being deep. You just want to sing some tunes.
Happened to Kevin, remember?
That's right? What I'm saying. Yeah. Yep.
Tired of being deep.
It's like, yeah. Kevin had to stop his performance art.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Got to be too much.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Joe Pesci is 74 years old today. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And soon to be seen in Fist Fight with Ice Cube. Can you wager on that fight? I'd like to lay some money on Cube. 41 years old today. Zizi Zhang celebrates her 38th birthday. Tom Hiddleston is 36. And Michael B. Jordan celebrates 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, so we've got the movie beat. We have a brand-new internet roundup for you. We have Tom Payne, who plays Jesus on The Walking Dead.
Jesus.
And The Walking Dead is back this Sunday. And we've got your tickets, your last chance at tickets for the Lumineers tomorrow as well.